have not read this passage yet, and so Matthew 1 is a very important story concerning the birth of our Lord and some of the things that was involved around that. We begin reading in verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might fulfill which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus." Now this particular passage this morning is probably approximately 8 to 9 months before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the announcement of the coming of the Son of God. This is the announcement of the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm so glad this morning that God came to this world and He came to us and He was God with us. And because He came and took our sins, He came to this earth, thank God we can go to where He is now, in that place called heaven. We have much to rejoice in. We have much to contemplate and to remember the different passages. And there's a lot of things that take place before that night that we read about in Bethlehem, as we read last week, where the shepherds saw the star and they came, or they heard the angels and they came to the place where Jesus lay. There's a whole lot transpires. There's a whole lot of people involved in this first portion of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning I want to look at it maybe from a little different standpoint than most. And I don't think I have ever sort of looked this direction. But I want us to think this morning of the men that surrounded the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that were involved in the time frame in those 8 or 9 months before the Lord was born. Now we know the shepherds were there that night. We read that the other day out of Luke chapter number 2. We know that they heard the announcement given to them as they was watching their sheep, as they was taking care of that flock that was theirs. And we found that they were religious men. They were men that understood some things as far as the Lord was concerned, because they recognized what was taking place, and they made mention of that to one another. And the Bible says they came, those shepherd men came to where Jesus lay, there in the the stable, as he was there in the manger. They came and saw him, and they worshiped him, and they went back and they told everybody they saw what had taken place. And a lot of people just considered what they said, sort of like today. People consider what we say, but they do not really get involved in the ministry and the work of the Lord. But this morning, other than the shepherds there that night, and that is a different scene than what we've read about. Here we have the announcement of the birth of the Lord to this man Joseph, and Joseph was is a very important character in the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Joseph was not his father, Joseph was called of God. Joseph was used of God to make some announcements and to make some things. Joseph is the one that that called his name Jesus, for he had been instructed by the angel and in the dream that he had. He is instructed that this is going to be his name. And so there are some men that are involved around the ministry, around the life, around the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe first and foremost is this man named Joseph. We talk about Joseph and Mary. Anytime you hear those words, our minds go back really to the birth of the Lord. Joseph was a very trusted man. God had put him in a peculiar position for his time period of life. Joseph was there. The Bible tells us here that the scripture says that Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. Before they were consummated as husband and wife, they are considered really husband and wife, even though they are just, as it's called, espoused or betrothed. And so we find that Joseph is put in a limelight maybe that he didn't want. Joseph is put in a place that he certainly was not expecting. But the Lord knew his heart. The Lord knew some things about Joseph. And the Lord trusted him with these words that were given. He was a just man, the Bible says here. So that means he had a relationship with the God of heaven. He was a just Jew. He was a man that understood some things of the Old Testament and, I believe, was looking for the Messiah. We studied not too long ago that during this time frame in Matthew, there had not been any revelation from the Lord for over 400 years. When you end up the story in Malachi, you have no prophets, you have no spoken words, you have no revelation from God. 400 years, God is silent. But they understood that Malachi, when Malachi wrote some things, they understood that he had some prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's in chapter 3, verse number 1. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Here's a prophecy that Malachi gives. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now that's speaking of John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. That's speaking of Jesus Christ. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. There is the prophecy in the Old Testament, the last prophetic statement concerning the birth of the Messiah. He's going to have a preparer. He's going to have one that will go before him, and we know that is given to us as John the Baptist. And so when Elizabeth gets the message from the angel of the Lord that she's going to have a child, she and Zacharias, that is the first time the statements to her and to Mary, or to Mary and to Joseph, that's the first time God has spoken to anyone for 400 years. The last time he spoke, he said he's coming. The last time he gave that prophecy in Malachi, he says there's going to be one that prepares the way and he shall come suddenly. And so we have the story played out in the New Testament and fulfilled, given to us. And Joseph is thrusted into the limelight of the scripture that he didn't even realize. He didn't know what we would be reading this morning, but he was living it day by day. And so they are espoused to each other. And the scripture says that she is found with child, and it's very explicit to tell us before they had come together. And it's very explicit when we get to the birth of the Lord in verse number 25, speaking of Joseph, and knew her not till she had brought forth the firstborn. And so here's this period of time that this young lady, as I've said many times, probably 16, maybe 17 years old, virgin, and yet she's carrying a child. And everyone is watching the progress of that birth. Everyone's watching what takes place. And yes, I'm sure there were the gossipers. I'm sure there are those that would raise their eyebrow and say, well, looky here, they're not even married yet. But yet she's with child, and Joseph, he understands, he sees, and the Bible tells us here that the angel came to him, and he is one that is espoused to her, and Joseph, her husband, was a just man. And so he is beginning to think about, what can I do? He's thinking from the human standpoint, the lady, the girl that I'm engaged to is with child, and it's not my child. And according to the law of Moses, he could have had her taken out to the public square and have her stoned to death. But Joseph was a just man. And the Bible says here that as he contemplated, as he was thinking on these things, but he was not willing to do that public example. For them to be betrothed, or for them to be what we would call engaged, he loved Mary. It was not an arranged marriage. He loved her. They had decided that they wanted to live the rest of their lives together. But she's with child. And he knows the law. He's a just man, remember. He knows the scripture. He knows rightfully and legally what he can do. He could take her out and call the elders of Israel together, and they could stone her to death, and he would be justified in doing that. But Joseph, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. The next thing Joseph could do was take her and put her away privately. It means that she would never, never, never have an opportunity to marry. She would be put away in a private place and be forgotten about. And that was according to law also. They could do that according to the Jewish law. So he could have her stoned, or he could have her secluded. But while he was thinking on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared. I just sort of think it's the same angel that spoke to Elizabeth. I think it's the same angel that spoke to Mary. For Mary had asked the question, how can these things be? She understood. She knew that she was a chaste virgin. She knew that she was clean and pure morally. And here she is found with child, and she questions in her mind, probably more than even Joseph, how can this be? And so the angel explains to her that that which is inside of you is of the Holy Ghost. And while Joseph is thinking about, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? How am I going to take care of all the struggles? I can have her stoned, but I don't want to do that. I think he probably was leaning to putting her away privately, and she would remain what she was the rest of her life. But while he thought those things over in his mind, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary. Notice he says, thy wife. Joseph is called her husband. Mary is called his wife before they ever come together as husband and wife. But God knew what was going to take place. And so he says, do not be afraid to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He gets the same message now that Mary got. He gets the same message that she has gotten beforehand. And the angel says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is not a coincidence. This is not a story of perhaps. This is not a story of, well, that's just the way it happened. For the next verse says, all these things were done that it might fulfill the saying of the prophet. And Matthew quotes the Old Testament prophet of Isaiah, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so Joseph has already read those scriptures. You remember, he's a just man. Joseph knew that the Lord was going to come, and the message had been given 400 years before that he is going to come suddenly, and so they're looking for him. There was a group of Jews that are orthodox in their understanding of the scripture that was looking for the coming of the Messiah. We read about Hannah and Simeon, and Simeon was told, you'll not die till you see him. Simeon holds the baby Jesus in his arms, and he says, now I'm ready to go. And so all of these things are done to fulfill the scripture. Nothing is by chance with God. You and I this morning, we are not here just because we decided we'd come this morning. We are here by the appointment of the Lord. We live our lives, we do our things, and God has control of everything. And sometimes we step out of the will of God, but guess what? He's still in control. He knows exactly where you are. He knows how to take care of things. And so here Joseph is. He's a just man. And I believe I can see that very, very clearly in these words, because the law firmly stated that he had those things to do. He was a compassionate man. He thought about this woman that is called his wife. And he said, I don't want to kill her. I don't want to destroy her. And the angel comes in his compassion. And then thank God he was obedient. In verse number 20, we didn't read these. We read these a while ago. And we find that he was obedient unto the things of the Lord while he thought on these things. While he was meditating. Have you ever just sat around? I'm sure I'm no different than anybody. Have you ever just sat around and thought about the circumstances that you're in right at that moment? And you begin to say, what am I going to do? Well, I could do this, I could do that, or I could make another decision and it will affect certain things. And I believe that's what Joseph was doing. I believe he was contemplating. He thought on those things. Sometimes we read the story and we don't realize, we don't take in consideration that the emotions of Joseph ran very high also. In Matthew chapter number 2, we find in verse number 13, says, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee unto Egypt. This is after the birth, I believe some months after the birth of the Lord. And that same angel comes and says, you need to get to Egypt because there's a decree being made. And so Joseph was not only compassionate, not only just, but he was very obedient unto the word of the Lord. For he was hearing words that no one else had heard. He's getting a message 400 years past the last message that he is coming. You and I this morning, we know he came. As believers, we understood the birth of the Lord. We realize he came to save his people from their sins. And you and I, we are sort of in the same predicament. For the Lord has not given any written revelation. Now, this may surprise some folks, and some folks won't believe that around the world. But Jesus has not given any more revelation since the book of Revelation closed in chapter number 21. There's no more revelation. So we're waiting what? Not 400 years. We're waiting 2,000 years. There's no more written revelation. There's no more spoken. When you hear one of these so-called prophets on the TV, then God gave me a revelation. That's a terrible word to use. God doesn't give us revelation any longer. He does not have anything else to reveal to us, for we have the completed Word of God in our possession. Nothing to be added to it, nothing to be taken from it. We have the Word of God. We have the message. And so therefore, the last message that we had was, even so come, Lord Jesus. And that was John the Apostle as he was there on the Isle of Patmos as a prisoner. He has been revealed all the, he has been given the revelation of all the things that's in the future for you and I even. And when it's all said and done, he said, even so come. We're looking for you. We're anticipating. Now, Jesus is not going to come this time and be laid in a manger. He's going to come this time. He's going to sit on a throne. And we have that revelation given to us. So Joseph is that one of those men of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another man that's involved also in this. Joseph's, he's a very trusting man, trustworthy. But there's another man by the name of Herod. He's called Herod the Great. We ought to call him Herod the Wicked, for he's a very wicked man. But in Luke chapter number 2, we have some things about this man, Herod, and it's all concerning the birth of the Lord. Notice verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. He was bothered. He was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. You see, they knew the Old Testament. Here Herod, this Roman ruler, treacherous man that he was, wicked man that he was, he goes to the religious people of Israel and said, Where is this king of the Jews supposed to be born? And they said, Well, the scripture tells us Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written, not perchance, not happening, not coincidence, but by fulfilled prophecy. And he gives the words here that Micah gives in the Old Testament, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word again that I may come and worship him also. He's a liar. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to destroy him. Verse number 9. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly great joy. Now we have here Herod, a treacherous man, never thinks about God, never thinks about the things of the Lord. He's a wicked man. He destroyed people that were of Jewish descent. He hated the Jew. And all of a sudden here they come and say, we're looking for the king of the Jews. Well, in Herod's mind, he was king of the Jews. He was of the Roman Empire, and he was over them, and he's called the Great. He thought he was the greatest, but he found out one thing. He could not kill God. He could not destroy this child that's called Jesus. For he has determined that he shall save his people from their sins. So Herod is in the mix now of what takes place. Joseph believes and understands and takes care of Mary. They go through this process of those 9 months. The baby is born. We read of that in Luke chapter number 2. It's interesting. It's good sometime if we would take the scripture and put it in sequence, how it really happened. Oh, in Luke chapter 2, we have the birth of our Lord. Matthew, we have not necessarily the birth, that early birth, but we have him as a young child. And the wise men say, we have seen his star. Something appeared that was different, and those men came, and they said, we're coming to worship him. And they told the truth. But Herod said, if you'll go find him, and you tell me where he is, I'll worship him also. He told a lie, for he wanted to destroy this one that was called Jesus. may we never think, and may people never have an idea that they can destroy the plan of God. It's going to work just as God has planned it to be. Then there's some other people. We read about them just a few moments ago here in Matthew chapter 2. It says now in verse 3, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. And now that little last statement, and all of Jerusalem with him. Sometimes we think, why in the world is just the mere mention of Christ cause such a stir? How is it that a football player can bow his knee and thank the Lord for what he's done and get literally thrown out of the league? Tim Tebow has a radiant testimony of a Christian. How can that take place and the whole media was a great stir because of what he done? He should not be pushing his religion on us. He wasn't pushing anything. He was bowing his knee and thanking the Lord. And by the way, we have a constitutional right to do that in this country. Whether it be in the closet or whether it be on the street, we have that right. And so there's a stir around the Lord. The Bible tells us in another place that there was a division because of Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a division. There were those that accepted him, there were those that were skeptical of him, and there were those that denied him. It's still true today. There are those that will just reject him totally. There are those that would be like King Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me, to Paul. And then, but thank God there are those like you and I say, I believe. Praise the Lord. But that divides people. And here, even at the birth of the Lord, there's a division. And the people, the men of Jerusalem were troubled at what was taking place. It's a good possibility. The scripture doesn't tell us. Tradition says there's three wise men. But if there was only three, that was very unusual. For those wise men, those magi of the East, they usually traveled in companies of 30 to 50. And so there's a good possibility that here comes a group of men and the whole city of Jerusalem said, what are they here for? And they hear their message. We've seen his star. And we've come to worship him. And the whole city was in an uproar because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have Joseph, you have Herod, you have the men, the people of Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 2, I've already mentioned those. You have the shepherds that came. And those wise men, those were thoughtful men. Those were men that understood. They're called wise because of wisdom they had. And they say, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They knew who he was. They were thoughtful. And they said, we're going to go and we're going to worship him. Verse number 11 of Matthew chapter number 2 says, and when they, speaking of the men, wise men, were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. They were men on a mission to go to Jerusalem to find out who can tell us where he's born. He's born in Bethlehem. They go to the place where Jesus was laying now. He's in a house. That's why I say the wise men were not at the manger scene. They came at a later time. And Jesus is a young child now. And so they come into the house, and the Bible says they fell down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures. What can you give God? They opened their treasures of gold, frankincense, myrrh. Very expensive. All representative of his life and his death. And so they opened their treasures to him. They came with a purpose. They came for a reason. When we see him, we're going to offer him, we're going to give to him these gifts. And so here they are at the house where Jesus lay. He finds him with Mary, his mother. And they see him, and immediately they recognize that's who Malachi prophesied about. That's the star that was put in heaven that we might find him. He's the one that's going to save his people. He's the one that Isaiah wrote about that is a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. He's the one, and they immediately fall down and they worship him as God. They were very wise. Wise men still do the same thing today. A lot of people not wise today, for they reject him. And so they're there, and they're there for the purpose of worshiping the Lord and giving gifts. How many of us have a tree setting up in our house this morning that's got all kind of gifts under it? The tradition of giving gifts, because God gave his son a wonderful gift. The wise men gave gifts to the Son of God, recognizing who he was. And we have so commercialized it. We have so forgotten the real reason for Christmas as a Christian. And we get caught up in the hustle and the bustle, and usually we say, boy, I'll be glad when this day is over. How many of us said that? I told somebody yesterday, I said, I'll be glad Christmas is over. Why? Too much running and too much hustle, too much activity. But really the reason we do what we do is because the Son of God came as the gift of God to mankind. He opened up his heart. He opened up his life. Now we give gifts as the wise men did to him. For they recognized who he was. They recognized his mission of what he was going to do. And they gave gifts. Gold, representing his deity. Frankincense and myrrh were elements, spices that were used in the burial of individuals. And so they opened their gifts. Today, tomorrow, we'll open our gifts. And if we're not careful, we'll forget why we open gifts. If we're not careful, we'll be so involved in what am I getting? What have I asked for? Did I get everything I wanted? Did I get this? Did I get that? And I remember when kids were little, and I've heard other people say about it, kids play with the boxes more than they do what's in the box. That used to upset me. You pay all that money, you do all those things, they were going to play with the box. Well, I can wrap them in an empty box, they'll have a good time. But we give gifts this morning because God gave his son. And that's the main thing. A lot of things involved, and one of these days I may try to put everything in sequence, in order of what took place according to Luke and Matthew. It's an interesting story. Sometimes we just like this one, we just get a segment of it. We got the 9 months before, and we got the year or so after. A whole lot happens in between. A lot of people involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the greatest person involved is the Holy Ghost of God. For Mary was with child of the Holy Ghost. Wednesday night, God became flesh and dwelt among us. That's John. John doesn't have the story of Christmas in it, other than that right there. He became flesh and dwelt among us, John chapter 1. That is the story. God became flesh. He was born, and he dwells with us. Now, thank God, he dwells in us as a child of God. May we have a real understanding of what Christmas is all about. It's not about Walmart. It's not about Kroger. It's not about ham. It's not about turkey. It's not about whatever you mention. Christmas is really about God. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.